What's up, babes? I'm Brooke.
And I'm Sam. This is the Sanely Wild podcast where we discuss taboo topics like sex, therapy, and, well, we'll leave the rest to your imagination.
We ask a question do you want to know, but wouldn't, or maybe even shouldn't ask. We'll dive deep into vulnerable topics of hardships and achievements, while also discussing the light topics of media, favorites, travel tips, and pet peeves.
We're just two gals having candid conversations with a collective people who love to live and
All right. Episode two, or is this technically episode three, though, because we're going to have an intro episode, meet Brooke, and then meet Sam. So I guess it's like three episodes.
Sure.
Whatever. Sure. But what's up, y'all? What's up, Wilders?
What is it? How goes it?
How's your week going? Last week, or last episode, we talked a lot about me. And I think it's time that we hear from Little old Sammy. We're currently recording on 420, and I have to show took a gummy. Sam's being good. She did not.
Sober Sam.
What a bum. just kidding. Y'all do what you need to do to be successful in life.
Listen to some of us are our own bosses. That is not me. So, I have to be sober.
Yeah. But we do need to hear from you and learn more about you, listen to less of me. Because I feel like, obviously, I know you, and I know that I'm still getting to know you, and I know that the listeners, it's going to do the listeners, the Wilders, I'm sorry, some good to hear from Sam. So, I wanted to start out this episode by saying thank you for asking all the wonderful questions about me. But I'm super pumped to get to, like, kind of interview you in a way. But tell me a little bit about, you know, you, what you're doing now, career-wise, like, personally, like, specifically more in your career. We're gonna like work backwards here in a minute, but what the heck do you do? Like, how do you make a living and how do you pay your bills and what's life like for you?
So I'm a nurse. Yeah.
God bless.
Yeah. I don't know what part of me was like, nursing, that's it, but I went for it. I guess so.
Because you're the helper.
My Enneagram came through for my career path. So I'm a nurse in Texas. I've been a nurse for, 3 years now. Started in 2020, right as COVID hit. It's been a wild ride.
What was it like to be a nurse in 2020? So clarify for me and the Wilders. Like, you were planning on being a nurse regardless of the pandemic. Like, that was your, what you were going to school for. Yeah. That's what you were doing, right? Yeah. But even so, with that on top, knowing we were going to have a global fucking pandemic, what was nursing like during the pandemic, like the heart of the pandemic, and what was it also like being a new in the field during that time? Like, could you really even tell the difference? Or I guess you can now that you've been out of it for a minute.
So I'm really actually grateful that I started right as the pandemic did. Like, I took my NCLEX, which is the nursing licensure. I'm bad at words. License exam. In February of 2020. And then I started at a hospital in February of 2020. And we got our first cases of COVID here in February 2020. So I don't know what it's like to be a nurse without COVID. I was a unit secretary and occasional tech on a women's services floor before. So I guess you could say that I knew that part of the hospital without COVID, but I didn't know what it was like to be a nurse without COVID. And I'm honestly grateful that I came in whenever it started, because I came in whenever the seasoned nurses around me were also learning, which I guess you could think is a little scary that we are all learning about this massive, very deadly pandemic all at the same time. But I think it also made way for some incredible bonds in that time period too. Yeah, and just, I didn't...
What do you mean by that, with the bonding?
Kind of like... like, whenever you're all learning something together, there's this, like, brotherhood, sisterhood that's going on that's like, oh, you're scared, I'm scared too. Like, but we can do this together kind of a thing. Like, I had always heard through nursing school that nursing is, unfortunately, a nurses eat their young. So I assumed going into nursing that there would be a little bit of bullying going on for me, that the senior nurses would kind of pick on the new grads and that kind of a deal. But I didn't experience that at all. I don't know if it was just from my unit or if it was because we were all in the beginnings of COVID and all just like, this is a time to band together instead of eating our young, per se.
That's awesome. I mean, that's how it should be. It's sad that we have to get to a global pandemic for us to, like, get to a point where everybody's, like, rooting each other on in your own field. But, I mean, I guess, like, we'd rather that happen than not. So I'm glad to hear that that's your experience, because I'm sure there's a lot of, like, seasoned nurses out there that didn't have that experience when they first started.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, even my mom had warned us, because my mom's a nurse, and she had warned us that it was kind of a nurses eat their young, and that just wasn't the case for me.
That's so cool to hear. So, you got started nursing in the pandemic. Now you're, like, we're kind of out of it, you know, like, things, you know, aren't back to normal, but they're at a new normal. So what's your career like now in nursing? Like, what do you hope for in the future? Is this something that you originally wanted to do? Kind of talk, like, pre-nursing school and, like, post-pandemic.
So I've always wanted to be a nurse. My mom came home from work and would tell us crazy stories because she used to work in the emergency room. And I thought for the longest time that I was going to go be an emergency room nurse. But then I got to nursing school and quickly found out that the emergency room is just not my vibe. It is wild, and they thrive off of chaos and are little daredevils. And that didn't fit me, and actually fit my sister perfectly. That's where she's at now. I thought I wanted to do pediatrics, and I think I still would like to try that. I don't know where I want to go, but I love that about nursing, that there's so many different things that I could do with it and different paths that I could do. So I started out in med-surg, which is kind of like a catch-all, kind of like a, like, your people are sick, but they're not that sick. Like, they're in the hospital for a reason, obviously, but they're not critically ill. Your job is to make sure they don't get critically ill and that you can recognize that they're getting critically ill quickly. And you're just, like, managing their care, educating, that type of a deal. And whenever I was in nursing school, I was like, absolutely not. I am not doing med surg. That seems like the hellhole of the hospital. it's not that bad. But now I work at a different hospital than what I started at. It's still med surg, tele. but it functions more like a PCU did at the hospital that I came from. So I can do like cardiac drips and things like that. Like a little bit more critical. The patient ratio is a little bit smaller. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it did. It did. That's so cool. I mean, I think I like, you know, that you're in a career field that you want to be in and that there's other opportunities even within being a nurse. And I think that that's so, you know, crucial, you know, as young people in our careers is to know that there's other opportunity out there to still do what you want to do, but try different things. So that's really neat. You've spoken really positively about nursing, and that's really beautiful. And I think there needs to be more positivity in the world. And I'm sure aspiring nurses listening to this, especially those that are in nursing school, if they're in nursing school by chance, will probably like you hearing that. But, you know, if you were to give those students or people who just genuinely are curious about the nursing world and want to know, like, what you guys go through, what are some of the negative things that you face as a nurse? What are the hardships that you face, personally, or that a lot of other nurses tend to face?
You know, you're dealing with people at their worst. You're dealing with a lot of different personalities, and you're dealing with people in their most stressful situations. Like, nobody plans, hopefully, to be in the hospital. And you're also dealing with different levels of expectations, and some people pull from shows and things like that and have this, like, ideal that they think that you should be. Like, you should be in my room every 10 to 30 minutes when, well, you have 6, 5, however many patients. That's just not gonna happen. I can be there every hour or so, and but every 30 minutes or less is just not able to be pulled off by one person. I think that's hard, like, dealing with different personalities. Also, something that I didn't realize, and I hope this doesn't get anybody off their track, like, just know that you're gonna have some thick skin. Highly recommend therapy. I did not expect to be so sexualized. Like, the first time that I had a patient grab me or, like, tap my ass, I was completely shocked and was just, like, horrified. Like, I've gone to school for this for years. I'm a professional. This is my job, and my job is to keep you safe. And then somebody turns around and, like, sexualizes you like that, whether it be about comments or touching. Yeah, I didn't expect that at all, and I think that's, like, the biggest negative so far. And thankfully, I think it's changing a lot. Like, whenever I first started, I don't think that my first instance was handled super well. I have had a recent experience again with some... I mean, there's no other way around it. It was sexual abuse, basically, at work.
Yeah.
And this one was handled so much better. Like, security got involved. Yeah. My manager was immediately there to talk to, and employee health even reached out to me and was like, what can we offer you? How can we help you? Do you feel safe? Like, yeah. That felt good. So I think it's changing for sure, but it's definitely not something that I ever thought I'd have to deal with.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, when you told me that those are your work experiences, and that's what you, as soon as you walk in the door to the hospital, that's what you're, like, risking happening on a daily basis, which is so sad. But it is, like, relieving to hear that there are hospitals and teams out there, you know, that will treat the situation correctly and care about you. But I think that that's the reality too, of what you're saying that you face is, like, you know, not every team and hospital is guaranteed to take care of you in that way. And so you have to be prepared for those situations. And that's the unfortunate part about about your job, but it is the reality and it needs to be talked about because people need to learn how to treat others. And it's like you said, unfortunately, they're at their worst. And so there's only so much person you can do to the overall population, yeah. but also just to change the system of protecting the people who are caring yeah. for you.
And I think I had this thought the other day while I was working that, no offense to people that have been in hospitals, and this does not apply for everybody, but I think if I'd have thought about this whenever I was a younger nurse, maybe it would have helped. Not only are you taking people at their worst, but you're also taking care of people that don't really know how to take care of themselves, necessarily. A lot of people do, but you're also going to get some of your patient population that just, like, doesn't know how to take care of themselves. And some of that stems from whenever they were even really young. So, for us, obviously, you wouldn't be sexualizing your nurse or making very hurtful comments or just being unnecessarily rude, because you have that social construct already. Like, you know how to take care of yourself, you know how to read a social setting, and just some of the people that you take care of are not gonna be on that level.
I think it's really wise of you to know that and to be able to say that and to give that empathy towards that person, even though they're treating you like absolute shit. Like, that goes to show, like, we just do not praise our nurses enough for the courage and the strength that you guys go in and the mindset that you have to, you know, go in and take care of people despite how horribly they've, you know, been treated and also have treated themselves and who treat others that way. So I think that's really cool. But I wanted to segue a little bit, because you are a wonderful nurse and I love hearing about your career, and I know for a fact you're gonna have a lot more to say on your experiences and sharing more about your career and your career path in the future. But you are more than your career, and I'm curious kind of like what makes you you, like what makes you Sam, where do you come from, like who the heck are you, like what was your childhood like? Kind of give us a little rundown of like how you even got to be able to have a career. And well
from the same small town as you, so you know what that's like. I had a pretty good childhood, nothing to really write home about. I think, like everyone has growing up, like once you hit a certain age, like things start to surface that you didn't realize were necessarily there whenever you were younger. So I will say, like, things at home kind of hit a wall, like middle school era, and my parents ended up divorcing like whenever I was in high school, which is like mega common in America. Definitely had a lot of quit growing in high school and things like that, but I had some good friends and great teachers, and my parents still did a pretty good job. Like, I don't know what I would have done in their situation either, so there's that. I worked at an itty bitty grocery store in our itty bitty small town. Yeah.
At Diamonds? Or?
Yeah, some people called it the Dirty D.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah. Worked there, nannied some. Yeah, my mom was a nurse. My dad was a cop, so grew up in that kind of, I guess I'll call him, first responder household.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. I wasn't really in sports the older I got. Like, I remember you talking about sports and stuff like that. I had an injury in middle school. So then I went the choir route. in the yearbook.
Sam is an awesome singer, by the way. We gotta hear her sing sometime. Anyway, so she goes choir route. Sorry.
Yeah, with the choir route. After high school, I left and went to college pretty far away. With nobody. I didn't know anybody there. I don't really know what possessed me to go there other than it seemed cool. Like, the campus and everything. Yeah. I ended up getting into a campus ministry, like, within that first week. And met really some amazing people and had so much growth from being far from home and kind of the chaos that was going on. I did end up coming back, though. I kind of started to realize I didn't want to live there long term. And I had an opportunity to move up north and be with my sister. So, of course, I jumped at that. And we went to nursing school together, and now here I am.
That's so cool. And when you say that you joined campus ministry, was that like a religious ministry or what was that?
Yeah, it was called CIA, Christians in Action.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I was a part of something like that. I don't know if it was in college or like high school or what, but yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah, it was technically started as like a Church of Christ thing, but whenever I went to it, we went to a Baptist church. It was kind of gotcha. Had the vibe of a non-denom for sure. What got me was like they had these little flyers, and on the flyers it had said like no homophobics, no sexism, no racism, and I was like, hey, I'm about that. And they were just cool. I liked their vibe.
Wait, they said no to those people? Yeah, or
like, none of those people were allowed. Yeah, like, no homophobes, no racists, no sexists.
Oh, kind of I get it now. I was thinking the opposite. I was like, wait, Sam, wait.
You were like, wait a minute, that does not sound like you.
Like, doesn't sound like you, and, like, we're going to put that out, because, we need to have combo. I'm just kidding. No, that's awesome. That's so cool. I wanted to bring that, like, to light a little bit, because like the ministry thing, because I think Sam and I both have very different but similar experiences within our faith and our religion and our practices and kind of like where we've evolved now. And I think that could honestly be a whole podcast episode in itself, just kind of sharing a little bit more about that and our experiences. And I personally would love to share more about that and theories and I don't know, just kind of where that goes. So, I don't know.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to skip to, so you've kind of gone through, you know, the small town life similar to mine. You had an injury in grade school, which kind of led you to choir and doing, like, more activities like that. And you've talked about, like, always wanting to be a nurse. So you've been surrounded by, like, health with your own experiences and, you know, with other people's experiences. So I'd love for you to touch on your overall health journey, because that's something you and I have probably bonded over the most, as we kind of shared in the episode with where we were talking about my health journey. And I think I would love for everybody to hear kind of some details about your health journey and how people might connect with you on things that you've been going through.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So
I think I'll touch on physical first. You know, no hate to my mama or to any of the mamas out there, but we definitely grew up in that South Beach diet era. That was the first diet I went on at 10 years old. Yep.
South Beach, yep. Beach body.
Yep. At 10 years old. A fourth grader. definitely, like, experienced some bullying throughout school, and not too horribly, though, I'd say. looking back at pictures, I definitely want to hug my 10-year-old self, because there was absolutely nothing wrong with that baby. But, anyways, no. You live and learn. Yo-yo dieting, literally, since I was 10, gained a lot, lost a lot, developed binge eating. I definitely went through some exercise bulimia. Oh, trigger warning for you girlies out there, or men even. I went on a crazy diet in high school, lost a bunch of weight. I went to Corpus, lost 80 pounds, came back home, gained it 100 pounds, and now I've journeyed into some mental health help and went to therapy and got on with a doctor that does an overall care and is extremely educational. Like, I didn't think, as someone that has dieted since they were 10 years old, that I could possibly be told anything that I didn't already know about losing weight and how to do it and things like that, but I was completely wrong, and I'm so thankful for him.
And to clarify, you see, like, just to make sure the Wilders follow and myself, you see a therapist and a separate doctor. Like, this is a separate person that you're
My doctor is, like, really educational on it and very supportive and just amazing. Like, my appointments are literally, we sit in his office and go through PowerPoints together and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, my first appointment with him, he was like, you have to be honest with me. Do you have any eating disorders or anything like that? Like, wow. We need to discuss this too. Mm. This is all around weight loss goal. This isn't just, I'm going to help you lose weight. Good luck.
Yeah. For anybody who's listening to this story of yours, real quick, like, if somebody's like, oh my God, like, I'm in that place that Sam is, like, kind of like before Sam decided to go to therapy and see a doctor, how does one even, like, what, how did you know to find this particular doctor? Like, can you give any kind of advice how to, like, tell those people to search for a doctor to get help with on this kind of stuff?
Well, it's actually funny, because the same woman that started me at 10 years old found this doctor. My mom found this doctor and was going to him, and she told me that he was different than anybody that I'd seen before, and I went with it. And I will say, though, I've been to multiple doctors for weight loss, like specific weight loss physicians. And I think the biggest green flag was, one, he asked me if I had any eating disorders. And two, he did not throw my BMI in my face. He did not tell me what weight that he wanted me to be. He was just purely educational and supportive and like, we're going to start like this. We're going to see if this works out for you. And we're going to be real honest this whole time. And we're going to look at your labs and we're going to look at all these other things that could be affecting your weight. And I'm not just going to throw just pills, because I've been on lots of pills for this stuff too before. I'm not going to just throw some pills at you in a crazy diet that you are not going to be able to sustain and just tell you to go lose over 100 pounds based on your BMI. So I think you really just need to find somebody that's good for you and somebody that has green flags of not shoving your BMI down your throat. Yeah.
What type of doctor is he?
So he can be a PCP, like a primary care provider. But I think his literally says physicians.
Okay, so that's kind of what he specializes
in. Yeah, he specializes in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in obesity. Gotcha.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, awesome. So maybe if there's people out there, just try and get them to search for a doctor that maybe that's their kind of specialty, yeah, their niche. Make sure that's kind of what they do on a daily basis. Anyway, I know I kind of interrupted you in talking about your health journey in general. That was kind of physical, but I wanted to ask that just in case anybody was like,
no,
I
yeah,
wish I good. Could ask her. Yeah, so, okay, so, you know, you're going back and forth on your weight. Mm-hmm. Now you're seeing a therapist and a doctor. Where are you at now? Like, what's kind of from there?
So, physically, I've lost 47 pounds and 8 inches off my waist.
That's awesome.
So, it's working. I'm, like, enjoying workouts, yeah, and I'm excited for my workout tomorrow. I was just talking to my husband about that. I also have therapy every Friday, and I'm actually looking forward to it. I've learned so much through that, too. Like, mental health has been an issue for me, like, my whole life, as I think it is for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But definitely had a lot of anxiety, obviously some ED issues, and depression and things like that. And whenever I was younger, I had been to a therapist, and she was just not a good match. She was horrible, and I didn't go to therapy for, God, that was probably like 12 years, because I was just too scared to try.
Wow.
And then my anxiety and, like, panic started to affect how I was sleeping, and then felt like something that was hard for me to calm down with at work, even. Like, I didn't want anybody to notice how anxious I felt. So I reached out to you, and I was like, hey, where do I get some help? Like, how do I do this? So, yeah, now I'm in therapy, and I think it's amazing. I think everybody should try it. I literally think everybody should. Like, even if you don't have a mental health rap sheet, I think it's just something that everyone could benefit from.
For sure. Who wouldn't love to just talk to somebody? Just share what they're thinking. And they're getting paid to do it. Literally. Like, they're ballers.
And whenever I started, like, I didn't even
they like
really
it.
Know what I wanted from it. Other than just, like, I don't want to panic all the time. And I can't sleep at all. Like, I haven't slept in a day and a half. And I don't see sleeping coming anytime soon. I had messaged her that, the first therapist that they put me with, and who I'm still with, and she, we met, like, that day or the next day. It was, like, very soon, and she gave me, like, worksheets and all this kind of stuff, and it really helped. And then kind of came to find out that I did want to do some trauma work from things growing up and from even, you know, nursing during a pandemic can be a bit traumatic. And yeah, it's only been like, I don't know, 6 months maybe, and I feel like a whole new person.
That's so awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. Maybe someday BetterHelp will sponsor us, because that's where we both actually started with our therapy. And, I mean, it really is a good company. This is truly not sponsored, but totally a goal. Would absolutely love to get paid to talk more about BetterHelp, because it was a really good way to, like, get into talking to a counselor and go into therapy. And they make it really easy to find the counselor that works for you. You don't have to have those awkward conversations with them about it. You have, like, a portal to go to. Like, it's a great place. So, and I'm glad to hear that it worked out for you, too. If you were to wrap up your health journey in one, and where you're hoping to head for it, what does that look like for you? What does your past, present, and future look like in your health journey? What are some of your goals? And, like, kind of how do you conclude where you're at?
I think overall, I just want to live a healthy lifestyle. And I think something that I've learned from therapy and from our friendship even is that I need to put some value on myself as well. And
that's kind of coming through in my health journey, focusing on myself and treating myself like how I treat others, and kind of putting myself first in a way, like doing something that I can sustain long term, something that makes me feel good, and something, you know, like I want that energy, I want to live that life that I've dreamed of, that active lifestyle, the foods that make you feel good, like having no shame around that, being involved kind of a deal. Like I let my weight and so many other things health-wise, like mental health-wise too, hold me back from so much. Like there were so many things I just wouldn't go try, even working out at one point, because I was so obsessed with what other people were thinking. Like I couldn't even walk into a gym without thinking that everybody was staring at me, when in reality we're all way too obsessed with ourselves to be worrying about what somebody else is doing.
Totally. Yeah, I learned that same lesson where it's like, hey, not everybody cares about what you're doing and saying, Brooke, okay? Like, okay. You know? Like, chances are the first thing somebody notices about you is not even about your body. I mean, some people might, and sometimes you notice other things about other people's bodies, but usually it's like an out there thing. Like, chances are that's not what they're thinking about. They're like, if they're thinking about your outward appearance, if it's another, it's a girl, two girls are probably like, oh my god, her top is so cute. Yeah. Exactly. Or you and I would notice the tattoos and the rings. And
did she get her ears curated? All the dope stuff. How do they look that good?
Goals.
Yeah. Tell me all the things. Okay, so I'm saving the best for last. The best topic for last that I've been super excited to ask you to talk about. And we're definitely going to do a whole podcast episode on this topic, because I know this is what lights Sam and I up to talk about. And another, like, fun thing that we bond over. And that is, like, one thing I've always noticed and truly, like, admired about Sam is that she romanticizes her life, and I think it's super cool and admirable, and I think it truly, like, has gotten me thinking over time, like, how to make my life, you know, seem more romantic and fun, and just how to truly, like, live in the present and enjoy, like, every little thing, and to notice things. So with that said, you know, me knowing that about you, I wanted to, like, share that with the Wilders and to ask you, like, where does that come from? Like, how are you conscious of it on a daily basis? And, like, what are some examples of you, you know, you romanticizing your life? Kind of talk about the whole romanticizing your life thing, and even your thoughts and your opinion.
I think I might have an answer for it, but just so I'm, like, being clear, like, what do you mean? Like, what comes to mind? Like, you mean, like, how outwardly lovey-dovey I am towards Jake, my husband, or...
Well, yes, that's part of it, but I think you do a good job of, I think what I mean by romanticizing your life is you make things eclectic and enjoyable for you, and you notice, like, the tiny things, whether it's making something aesthetic or choosing activities that are romantic, even if it's not with your husband, it's with your friends, like your picnic, like, the average person doesn't do the picnic, and you guys wear, you know, cute vintagey floral stuff, and you get a cute cake and chocolate. Like, I just feel like you're always so good about that, and the things that you and Jake do together. I don't know, does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And what comes to mind, and I promise I'll get to my answer through this, but whenever... Like, maybe it was whenever I was in nursing school. Like, sometimes I'd show up to nursing school and I wear dresses. And it's purely because it feels good and I want to wear a dress. And
honestly, sometimes I'm not wearing anything under that dress, and I just like to be naked, so that's part of it. But, like, my friends and my sister even was like, I love dresses, and my sister doesn't now, but they'd be like, I love dresses, but I don't know where to wear them. Wear the damn dress. What do you mean you don't know where to wear it? You go into Walmart, wear a dress. Mm. I don't care. I think it's, like, not being afraid, even though I secretly am afraid, but not being afraid to do what you actually want. And being a little extra about it. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to meet up with my friends for my birthday, and I really like picnics, and we could have just, you know, showed up somewhere with a blanket. But I also really love taking pictures.
Mm-hmm. Totally. No, it really does. It sums it up in a really great way. And I think it would be fun to do a podcast episode where we give examples on how we both pursue romanticizing our life. What are some things that, you know, we enjoy that make it feel like we're kind of living our own aesthetic vlog, if you will, you know? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, figuratively and literally. Yeah. Totally. I love that. And you're so good at that. And, like, you and Jake do a lot of things that couples, I think, like, aspire to do, but they just don't know how to make it happen. Like, I think, like, because y'all are, like, concert people and, like, certain places that you travel, I think are cool. Like, the things that you and Jake do while you're home together, like, playing music together, singing, you guys read together, you're always in, like, a cute dress. And I hate to make this whole topic about aesthetics, because I think you can romanticize your life without buying things or having a ton of things. It can be about what you do and what you think and how you change your lifestyle, right? Like, I've just always, like, really admired that about you. So yeah, I think you answered the question perfectly, not permanently. So, to wrap all of this up, obviously we have so much talking to do, and I promise, guys, like, Sam and I are fun peeps, but we wanted y'all to, like, just get to know us first. So our future episodes are going to be super juicy, funny. We're going to talk about serious things, but we're going to talk about, like, funny things too, and deep things, and all the things. But if there's anything with Sam's story or my story that resonate with you that you'd like us to talk more about or anything like that, shoot us a DM, contact us somehow, join the Silva Stills Babes group, and, you know, make sure that we know what you want us to talk more about. But, Sam, I think it's important that you end with a live and learn moment. What is something that you want to give to the Wilders, like a live and learn?
It's a some generations that are going to hate this. But you got to do your life for you. You got to quit people pleasing. And you got to notice whenever you're doing it. And you got to try to pull back from it. Like, there's been times in my life and definitely in my therapy journey that, like, I've realized even down in my career path, I'm like, did I choose this because I wanted it? Or did I choose it because I thought that's what people wanted me to do? And not to say that it's not something that I wanted to do. I want to do nursing. I love nursing. But there is definitely a part of me that wants to do pediatrics and let what people say get to me and think that that's not where I'm supposed to be. Or there's even a part of me that's thought about doing, like, school nursing whenever I have kids. And I know that I kept myself from doing things like that because I felt like it wasn't nursey enough for people that I know. Mm-hmm. I wanted, like, respect, and I wanted to please other people instead of going for what I really wanted, and it kind of put me in a freeze mode. And I definitely think I'm thawing right now. I'm in the middle of my learn and my live and learn. So we'll see where it goes, but definitely doing life for you and quit that people pleasing.
I love that. That's so good. And I love that you said, like, quit doing life for other people, do for you, but hold yourself accountable because your choices at the end of the day still affect other people. And I think that that's important. An important message too, where it's like, it's okay to still be conscious of your behaviors and your reactions. But overall, it's time to live for yourself. And sometimes that comes with mistakes, but we're human. So it's true best that. Just to live for yourself. I love that. It's a good live and learn. All right, Wilders. We'll see you next episode.
Peace out, Wilders.
Peace out, Scouts. See you on the flip side. Bye.